You are
listening to
Nutbutt Tree.
We are documenting our trip. So we left Idaho on Friday night. So we posted our last podcast Thursday night at midnight, and Friday, right after work, we left. And we drove from there down to Utah, where we stayed with my parents. We stayed there all day Saturday, and then Sunday morning we left for California, where we stayed with Janae's aunt and uncle, Kevin and Karen. So first off, we need to give a huge thank you to everybody on Facebook, email, text, phone calls. Just the outpouring of love and support that we got was, I did not expect that at all. And we very much appreciate it. It's great to know that we're in everybody's prayers, and I don't know, but what are your thoughts?
No, I thank you. Right on.
So, right now we are heading down the 605 in California. I think we're almost to Los Angeles. We're just outside Los Angeles if we're not in it.
22.
Oh, okay, thank you. That's the exit number, exit 22. So we're driving to the hospital right now. We stayed with my parents, and they rented us a car so that we had a smoother drive. We stayed with Kevin and Karen, and they've been taking really good care of us. We had fun playing card games last night. And Janae's aunt Karen is an amazing cook. So I think she'll appreciate to hear that. She made us an amazing dinner. It was just, there was nothing that did not taste great. It didn't taste amazing. We're now, it's 8 a.m., and we're driving to the hospital.
This is for the checkup and to meet the doctor and double confirm my condition.
So as far as we know, at 8:30 today, we go in for just an ultrasound. We do know that it's baby B has...
I think it's B.
Yeah, I think it's B. Baby B... So real quick, we need to explain this. Our family doctor office labeled them differently than the...
Specialist.
However, I think B has been consistent.
I think so.
Because our family doctor put A and B in the same sack, whereas C was on its own, and the specialist put A on its own, and B and C shared. And so I think it's always been B, though. We'll see. But baby B has little to no amniotic fluid. Oh, and we looked it up. I've been pronouncing it wrong. I'm sorry, everybody. It's not amniotic. It's amniotic. It's MN, amniotic. How are you feeling?
We're feeling very positive. Like, of course we're nervous and we try not to focus on the negative, but, we know a lot of prayers are in our favor, and we definitely feel it. We feel calm and we feel good about this.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident, about this. I don't know, I just don't... I'd like to feel like I can see the future sometimes, but I can't. I don't feel like we're going to find out anything horrible. One amazing thing that we've had happen was that a lot of people told us about family members and friends who've gone through this exact same thing at the exact same hospital that we're going to. And they were success stories. So we're hoping to be able to add to that list. To anybody listening to this that are about to have triplets, to feel scared, I think, would be a very normal and natural feeling.
Yeah.
especially if it's your first time encountering triplets and hearing about this problem. Or twins, I guess twins could do the same thing. Identical twins could have the same problem. But everybody raves about this hospital. We looked online, and people from all over the U.S. will fly to this hospital for this procedure. So We're just very hopeful, and we'll keep everybody posted as things come along.
Yeah. Okay, so it is almost 10 p.m. It has been a long day. We started our morning at 6, which doesn't seem like it should be that early, except we drove 10 hours yesterday. And so I think we were a little burned out from that. But we did make good time, which we talked about the time we got up already. So we got out of the hospital at 2. We got in at 9 a.m. and we got out at 2 p.m. We'll just fill you in on some of the stuff. Do you want to talk about the states, or do you want me to talk about the states or the...
Stages,
thank you.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so what we have, or what the babies have, so we have one fraternal twin and two identical, or triplet, I mean, one fraternal baby and two identical twins. And so they kept referring to them as the twins, and they said that that's what we'll keep referring to them as. So we're going to do the same here. They have what's called twin-to-twin transfusion. Twin-to-twin transfusion. And so, as we've explained, there's vessels that carry from the donor to the recipient. There are 5 stages to this. The first one is just being able to identify it, where the fluid levels... the recipient level of amniotic fluid would be at 8 milliliters, or is it 8?
Safe fluid is between 2 and 8 centimeters, not milliliters, right?
No, I don't think centimeters, because centimeters is not a measurement of fluid.
But they measured the distance. Is that what it in is? The fluid, yes.
She's probably right. She usually is.
anyway, that's not relevant. It's the numbers.
So anyway, 8 and 2. And so if it's outside those ranges, meaning one has more than 8 and the other one has less than 2, or they're at 8 and 2, they know that that's what they have. And that's stage 1. Stage 2 is they can't find the donor baby's bladder, because majority of the amniotic fluid is...
it's gone, and the bladder has collapsed.
Yeah, but the fluid itself is composed of urine, essentially, from the... those who've been a mom before, like newborn urine and stuff, is basically water. So don't be grossed out. So that's stage 2. They can't find the bladder. It's completely collapsed.
Stage three
is abnormal blood flow, but we're not sure what that really means.
Yeah.
Stage 4 is heart failure, and that's because, was it no fluid or too much fluid?
Too much fluid.
Too much fluid gets to the heart. And then stage 5 is one or more of the babies have died. So the doctor told us that we are at stage 1, meaning the babies are all functioning. Functionally speaking, they're fine right now. The fluid level...
not fine, but yes.
Well, they're functioning fine.
Right.
Yeah, they're functioning. The hearts are beating. Bladders have liquid in them. And from stage 2 up, typically there are... how did you word it? You don't really get much of a choice.
You don't get a choice. They do it.
Whether you want to do surgery or not. And... he sat us down and had to explain to us all of our options. And I think you should explain this one. I'll jump in with commentary, but...
Okay.
Or do you want me to go through that, or...?
First off, our condition... Do you want to explain?
No, go for it. I don't know.
Okay. Our condition is, the small baby is only at 0.8 centimeters.
Yeah, 4.8 percentile.
Yeah. No, for the fluid. It's safe between 2 and 8.
Right.
The one baby is at 0.8, so he's way below 2, and the other one is over 10.
which is also dangerous. It can cause heart problems.
So that's our condition.
And then also the small baby
has another problem on top of it.
Yeah, and I don't remember what it's called.
They have three vessels to the umbilical cord that feed them nutrients.
One vein and two arteries, I think is what it was, right?
One artery.
One artery and two veins?
Yes.
I think it was the other way around.
Was it the other way? Anyway, there's three connections
we'll get in back the umbilical to this one cord. And little baby, the little one, only has two.
Yeah, he only has two.
And the doctor explained that that could, I mean, obviously once the babies are born, that doesn't matter. We cut off the umbilical and turns into a belly button. So there's a chance that that won't affect him ever. But usually that means that there are other pre-existing conditions in the baby.
Mm-hmm. And that's the reason he is so teeny and he probably will have quite a few complications.
So we've got that, and then, so he sat us down and he said, we have to go over all of your options.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one, I don't remember the order.
First one is just waiting.
Yeah, just wait.
We can wait and see what happens, because we are at stage one. Technically, we don't have to have the surgery or do anything about it until you get to stage two. So we still have the decision if we wanted to. We could wait and see what happens. Another option, the other option is the surgery, where they cauterize the vessels.
Mm-hmm. Using a laser.
They use a laser, cauterize all the vessels. So essentially, it's as if they have two different placentas at that point.
Yeah, because healthy twins, that's already in place.
Right.
And they explain that even twin-to-twin transfusion isn't necessarily a bad thing, because as long as the same amount of blood and fluid are flowing from one to the other, it's going back as well. And so if that's the case, there's really no problem. The babies can grow up just fine. In our case, where it's being sent but not received, we've developed this issue. And so by cauterizing all of them, it'll separate the two. Completely. So,
and they should be able to heal themselves, basically.
Yeah, so the levels should balance out on their own. He kept stressing that this is not a guarantee that it'll save all three babies.
Right.
But the advantage to this is the little one, if he were to pass away, if we were to lose him, and they were still connected, the other baby,
we'd lose him as well.
And so we've got that we have to take into account. But that's what it does. So it separates the two, so they're more independent.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the other options he gave us were, what was the needle one? I forget what that's called.
Injection.
No, it wasn't an injection. They pull out amniotic fluid.
Oh, they just...
It's got a name, but I don't remember what it was
called.
Right,
it's just a needle to pull out the... Basically not healing the condition, just...
Treating
the symptoms.
Yeah, so it would... Because there's too much fluid in one side, pulling out or extracting fluid from it could solve the problem. But... he pointed out, if you're already in there, that's pretty evasive, just do the laser surgery.
Yeah, the chances are the same, but there's better results with the laser surgery.
And then he pointed out that terminating the pregnancy was an option.
Yeah, can terminate it altogether.
Or we could do a selective reduction pregnancy where we pick a baby and...
sacrifice one for the other.
Yeah, and he definitely saw a very disturbed look on our faces, and he said... I'm just going to assume that those are not options for you. And we said, yeah, that's true. He goes, great, because we don't do those here.
Yeah, they'd have to send us somewhere else.
Yeah, they just said, ethically, we don't participate in things like that.
Yes.
So so we were happy to hear that, and I'm sure he was happy to hear the same back. So he gave us our options. Because we were stage one, we could choose what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you talk about that? What us talking about our discussion?
we both felt like waiting wasn't even an option. We want them to have their best chances now, whereas waiting, it could fix it, but more than likely the condition will worsen and then their chances even get even lower than the percentages are now. And so we are going ahead with the surgery, and hoping it all works out.
Yeah. Now, this procedure is so new that they are still doing studies on it, and Janae would be a part of the study. So years from now, we'll still probably be contacted by our doctor, by this doctor, I should say, to see how things are going. And when we were discussing the possibilities, Janae got a little teary-eyed, which is more than expected. And he pulled out tissues and handed it to her. And he said, of all the women I've had in here, you're the only one that's cried. And I made the comment, tried to defend her, I guess. Oh, she's a tender heart. And he gives me this look like, are you stupid? Every woman who's cries. Been in here in this discussion cries. But then he showed us a photo he has on the wall. And every 4 years. Every 4 years, they have a reunion of with families that they've saved. And there were, I would say, over 100 people in the photo.
Yeah, there were a lot.
Some of the procedures that went on today is a lot of ultrasounds. A lot. Typically, when they're done with an ultrasound, the photos they take, I mean, I think the most we've gotten prior to this was, 20 photos?
I wouldn't even say that many. Maybe 10.
Okay. And so with triplets, that's... Anyway. And the technician, she pulled them out and she was rolling it up and it just kept going and going and going. I would guess there's 50, 60 photos in there. It was a lot of photos. So they were checking everything. So we had that. And then the specialist came in. And he checked it, and he pointed out that he asked Janae, "Are you short of breath?" And we found out that that's typical with somebody in her situation, where the production of fluid in one portion of the placenta is higher. It pushes on her, so they're going to drain a little fluid tomorrow as well.
Yeah. And it puts stress on my whole uterus, so that's why I haven't been able to breathe very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been actually kind of painful.
Which, I mean, okay, so, anybody who's pregnant knows that shortness of breath is typical, but I guess he was pointing out that this is excessive.
Yeah, to the point it's difficult to breathe.
Yeah. But he also, and this was very reassuring, as he was looking at Janae's tummy, can you tell we have a toddler? I use the word tummy all the time. As he was looking at using the ultrasound machine on her tummy, he's like, wow, this is like a photocopy of what we had in, was it a week ago, he said?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and she was also from Utah. Apparently a lot of people from Utah come out here. But he pointed out that the setup is the same, where one is on the floor of the womb and the others are on the ceiling. And so before we had made the decision to go ahead with the surgery, we didn't ask too much about that family. I was curious, and Janae was too, but we didn't know if we could. And I didn't want it to sway our decision, because I didn't know if possibly Janae was thinking, well, let's wait. I mean, it could get better, but we've seen him deteriorate over the last couple of weeks, so we don't feel like he would get better. We would lose him before anything. But so we went in and asked, and he said, well, of course, they went through with the surgery. That's what people come here for. And it was a success. And so the percentages we were given, if we go through with the surgery, we have do you remember the percentages? It was 70% chance of keeping all three babies with a 5% chance of brain damage.
Right.
We have a 90% chance of keeping two babies. Is that what it was?
Yeah. It was higher than 90. He said it's, okay. It's a higher than 90% chance of keeping two of the babies.
Yeah, with still a 5% chance of...
But the little one, there is a 70% chance that he will survive.
Yeah. So going through the surgery mathematically makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say most of our choices were based off of how we felt about it, not so much the numbers. But we felt good about the surgery. That's why we're out here in the first place. So.
Yep.
So, yeah, that is where we stand. We will try to keep everything up to date as much as we can. Tomorrow, we have to be at the hospital by 7 a.m. Janae's surgery will start at 9. They said it should be a couple hours. She'll be held for 24 hours. And then we should be released Wednesday. So, if things go as we plan, we probably will post another episode tomorrow. But
tomorrow after the surgery?
Yeah, you might not have much comment. You might not have too many comments on it. It might be mostly me. It might be a phone conversation. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, you can contact us on Facebook. If you know us personally, you can always text us. At this point, I would say probably don't call us. We have a lot going on, and I don't want to sound rude, but right now, that's not our first priority to answer calls. But you can always email us at notplus3@gmail.com. That's notplusthree@gmail.com. And we look forward to releasing more episodes.